Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Well, I'm joined today with Dave Ramsey, radio host for a long time. Dave, welcome to Buckhead Church's podcast. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. I know that's a loaded question during this season because we're all doing as good as we can do, but you have been quite busy yourself. I know you've been doing a lot lately.
Yeah, we've been a little busy, all the Ramsey personalities and I think we've done in excess of 200 media hits in just the last couple of weeks, which is fine. It's what we're called to do, and we enjoy doing it. And the good news is we get to spread our faith and say, you know, this too shall pass. God was not caught off guard by this. He did not leave his throne and say, oops. And so we get to, you know, sit in mainstream media and make logical cases for calmness and not panic. And I have a plan for you, and it is not to bring you harm, but to bring you hope.
Well, I love that. And we could use a little hope right now. I hope we actually get to talk about that a little bit. You spend 3 hours every day talking to Americans. Let me just start by asking you, what are people feeling right now? I know so many different emotions, but how do you describe that as you talk to people?
Well, I think they're feeling a lot of different things, and a lot of it is specific to their situation that's driving their particular feelings. If someone's immune compromised or has an elderly family member living in the home, they're very, very concerned, rightfully so, about the virus. If someone's not got any health problems anywhere around them but has lost their job, they're very concerned about the cure and which one is more damaging. And it's a little bit like the old joke of major surgery. Major surgery is surgery that happens to me. Minor surgery is surgery that happens to you. And so, you know, we get real concerned about, you know, and you know, we take these macro opinions that we form based on what's happening in our lives. It's very easy for me as a business person that's got 1,000 people on my payroll, and I've not been ill and I've not had a lot of illness around me. It's real easy for me to skew off and go on the side of the economic shutdown and how horrible that is. But on the other hand, there's real pain on the health side. So it depends on where people are as to what they're feeling.
Well, one of the common experiences that we're having is that we're all watching church online right now. I would imagine at your church in Nashville, you're watching online as well right now. That's your Sunday morning routine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, as you think about this experience that we're having, what would you say to encourage people as they're engaging with church online?
You know, I think that church is going to experience what business has experienced if we're wise about this. And that is we're going to figure out some things we never want to do again. Yeah. Please, Lord. And we're going to figure out some things that we probably should have been trying anyway, and this made us try something new. And we're going to discover and learn some things that are absolutely awesome. We've seen that with some of our product lines. In order to make them available for people that were quarantined, we just started dumping deals into the market just to help people. And in that process, the way people have responded in those situations has taught us a lot about how we can serve them on leadership or getting out of debt or whatever it is we're trying to teach them. And I think church is the same way. I think most of us are in agreement. We never want to have an Easter like the last one. You know, it was probably the largest attended Easter in the history of the world, because a lot of us went to five churches that morning because we were skipping around. We were scanning channels, you know. And but on the other hand, we all know that we need community, and it is not good for man to be alone. And we need to be, you know, I need a hug. I need to give some hugs sometimes, you know. And so there's some things we've learned that we'd never want to experience again, but there's some other things we learned that we can do things that we didn't even know we could do. And churches are discovering that, and they'll never return to the same shape again because of being stretched to this point. And in that sense, there'll be some wonderful things that come out of this.
I love that. Dave, you, as you're talking to people, I would imagine there are some questions, some common questions people are asking. Could you categorize it? Could you put it in a few different buckets of what people are wanting to know right now?
What to do in my situation, again, situation specific, and folks are falling generally in three buckets. Bucket one is I'm really up a creek. I'm in a serious crisis. I've lost my job. I worked at a restaurant or a hotel or airline or something like that, and I'm just got no income or hardly any income. The second group, and obviously in a crisis like that, you take care of the four walls, and Scripture says to take care of your own household first. And that's really good direction here, good common sense direction. Take care of food and lights and water and pay your rent or your mortgage first before you worry about your FICO score, for goodness sakes. You feed your kids, you know. And so when you're in crisis, you stop everything and you pile up cash and, you know, you try to weather the storm and figure out a way to create some income. The second group's kind of in the middle. They were working a plan of some kind to get out of debt, build wealth, be more generous, all those kinds of things. And they haven't lost a job, but they're watching this hurricane happen around them. And maybe he drives for FedEx and she's a teacher. They got steady incomes. They're not going to lose those incomes, but all this stuff's happening around them. Do I stop there? And then we're saying, no, just keep doing what you're doing. And then the third group is a group that's been doing this stuff for years, and they've built some wealth and they've got some margin. And I'm encouraging them to be outrageously generous. When you go through drive-through to pick up some food, give a teenager $100 and watch their face light up. I mean, have some fun during this time to be a blessing to people. You were blessed so that you can be a blessing. And so we're just encouraging people based on their specific bucket as to how they react, and just trying to meet folks where they are, because I've been scared. I've been that scared guy. I've been the guy in the middle working a plan. I've been the guy that was able to be generous.
I'll never forget hearing you say that before, that when you give that big tip, you get the joy of watching that person do the Snoopy dance.
You got to watch an old Charlie Brown cartoon to know what that means. But yeah, it's that, it's exactly right. But generosity is one of the best reasons for handling money well.
Dave, as people are calling in, telling you their story, what are the common mistakes that people are making, the things that you want to go,
I think they're making a lot of mistakes relationally and financially due to panic. Panic shuts down the critical thinking portions of the brain. If you're standing in the middle of the road and a car turns a corner and is coming at you, you panic with good reason. Your brain is designed to keep you from having a series of critical, logical thoughts at that moment. Instead, you just get out of the way. You run.
Right.
And that's what it's for. But it is not how you make good, wise decisions. And so one of the things that people of faith can understand is that we can step back, breathe, and as an act of our will, calm down, and say, I got this, God's got this, we can do this together as a community. This too shall pass. Now, if I'm not panicking, I'm going to make different decisions, much better ones. Because every time, Clay, that I get really, really scared. Right after that, I get really, really desperate. And right after that, I get really stupid. And I make some decade-changing decisions that aren't good. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, slow down. If you catch yourself making relational decisions, you're being angry with someone or unkind to someone because you're afraid, slow down. Stop that. Be nice to people in the supermarket, even if they're not behaving the way you think they should. My goodness. Be nice to your brother and sister. You know, that they might not be being nice right now, but you can be. And the same thing's true with your money. Be nice to your money. You don't need to run up a bunch of debt right now and be buying a bunch of stuff to feel good because you don't feel good. You don't need to be buying a car right now if you're broke. And you don't need to be cashing out your 401k because you're scared to death of the economy crashing. The economy's not going to crash. It is not a Great Depression. It's a suppression.
Right.
We just stopped it for 45 days, and then we're going to slowly restart it, apparently.
Yeah.
And we're going to be okay.
One of my favorite things that you've helped America learn is really around personal responsibility, that, hey, it doesn't really matter what's happening in the White House because you get to decide what's happening in your house. And that principle may be more true, but it's certainly as true today as it's ever been. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. The way that a community is built is with strong families. The way strong families are built is obviously mom and dad start this at home. And so the best way to change the world is change your home. change yourself. And we know that. That's an old philosophy. It's been around forever. I didn't invent that. But your job is not to personally spend the U.S. economy back into prosperity. Oh, my goodness. That's absurd. No, your job is to take care of your house. And if you feed your children, keep the lights and water on, keep shelter and keep gas in the car so you can go to work if you got a job or go get a job, then you know, you're doing your part to stimulate the economy, and it will work out. If you take care of your own household first, it doesn't say only, but it says first. That's the smart thing to do.
I've gotten an up-close seat a couple of different times at your organization, just speaking at some different events with you all. And the thing that I respect so much about you is that you lead an organization. You're not just a radio host. You're not just speaking to people on air, but you are also dealing with the normal things that every organization deals with. So as you think about your own organization, you've got hundreds and hundreds of employees. What are you telling them? What's the message that they need to hear right now during this season? What are you doing as a leader?
Well, making sure all of our leaders in Ramsey, and there's about 200 of them, and there's about 1,000 of us in total, that our first job is calm down. Mm-hmm. Leaders are supposed to remove drama, not add drama. Calm down, and you can't transfer, you know, good things to people, leading people well, cause them to make good decisions on behalf of the organization if you're running around like your hair's on fire.
Right.
I know we all get scared. I've been scared sometimes during this process. I got 1,000 folks I need to pay. That kind of puts my stomach in my throat sometimes, you know, to be authentic about it. But in spite of that, I'm also called to be and have chosen to accept the service of being a leader.
That's right.
And that means I have a higher calling to control my emotions and go, yeah, in spite of being a little bit afraid, I'm going to tell you guys the truth. I'm going to tell you what's really going on. I'm not here to scare you. We're not going to add drama, but we're also not going to lie and act like everything's okay because it's not okay. Here's what we're facing. We're all going to do this together. We're going to be okay. You're going to get through this. And, you know, so just add calm to the equation and then, you know, have compassion because everybody's not processing this the same way.
Right.
We have to give a little extra dose or a big extra dose of grace to some folks in these situations. And, you know, we're not going to fire someone for acting out in the middle of this mess, like we might if they did the exact same series of behaviors in a non-mess. But we're going to give them a little more grace because people are freaked. And we just got to walk them back from the edge and walk through this together, lock arms. It really can be done. And we've been working really hard at it for about 45 days here. And by and large, it's working.
One of the reasons that I feel like you have the ability to be steady is because this is not your first rodeo. You've been through this before, whether it was 9/11 or whether it was the dot-com bust or whether it was the Great Recession, you've experienced some of this before. Could you put your pastor hat on for just a second and maybe help us interpret what is God doing in all of this? What is he saying in all of this? How are you interpreting what's happening from that vantage point?
Well, obviously the Bible is full of plagues. It's full of horrible events happening to people, the enemy army coming in and taking over and slaughtering people. You know, you read through the Old Testament, there's very little good news in there. That's why when we get to the New Testament, we call it good news, you know. And so, I mean,
that's right.
The human race facing tough times is not a new event, is my point. And so it's not an indicator that God was caught off guard. It's not an indicator that God brought this to somehow punish us. That's absolutely not indicated in Scripture or in good, solid, non-toxic theology. You know, it's just this is a thing that is happening. There's a tornado had come through Nashville right before the coronavirus came through Nashville. And, you know, did God punish some people with a tornado and others not? Oh, goodness gracious, no. It was a tornado. And so, but then what does God do? Well, God's people have the opportunity to react and be the healing agent. That's one thing we're called to do immediately, is to step up and bring money and food and love and repairs and chainsaws and whatever we need to do. It needs to be a symphony of chainsaws after a tornado, all handled by believers, you know? And so we get the opportunity to serve and to be God's people, his hands and feet at that point. The other thing we get the opportunity to do is learn from this and go, you know, I would have never looked at this situation or this person's political thought train this way. Now I look at the president differently. Now I look at the Congress differently, maybe. And maybe I look at my business through different eyes, and I've got my church, the way we do church is going to be maybe slightly different. I know that for sure we travel differently. Before 911, we couldn't even spell TSA. And now it's just a way of life, right? And so there's going to be some things that are new, a new way of life that maybe are more restrictive forever. But we'll learn some things. There'll be some blessings and there'll be some bad things that come out of it. But that's what always happens. And so I think that, you know, we can get trite sometimes with Scripture. And I love Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. I like that idea that all things work together for good. But when you're in the middle of the all things, it ain't fun. Having a testimony is a wonderful thing. Getting one's a real pain in the butt.
Well, as you think about the person that's maybe in the middle of getting that testimony, they're in the middle of still writing that story and they're not sure how it's going to end. Maybe they're feeling some despair. Maybe they're feeling some sadness from loss, or even just disappointment and depression. What would you say to them? What would you say to them to bring a little life, a little bit of encouragement to that person today?
Well, I think the Scripture's full of hope, and God's love is full of hope for us. And it's not a Pollyanna hope, like, if I just think positively, I'll be okay, and I don't want to have faith in hope. That's not the point. But hope is real, and it is the gas on the fire that causes the fire to light up in your life. You know, as my friend Zig Ziglar used to say when he was alive, that, you know, you can be negative about something, you can be positive about something, and being negative never causes it to get better. Being positive does, potentially gives it a chance to be better. So I'm going to choose hope. My faith tells me to do that. Sometimes I have to work at it a little bit, truthfully. I'm like anybody else. But I'm going to choose it. And I actually then, I'm getting old, Clay. I mean, I'm 60 years old, so I can look back on the Y2Ks and the 911s and the 2008 crash and the whichever. I can look back on these things and, you know what? We came out of them the other side. This is not over. This too shall pass. And, you know, September, it's going to be a different world. We're going to be okay in September. I don't know what kind of garbage we're going to go through between now and then, but apparently we're going back to work in the next couple of weeks, most of us, and that's a good thing. But by September, by this time next year, can we not all agree we're going to be okay? And so I can attach to that and go, okay, I just got to walk through whatever manure is between now and then, and we'll grow something with that stuff, right?
We'll be singing that Panic at the Disco song, Hey, Look, Ma, I Made It. You know what I'm talking about, Dave? Hey, Dave, one of the things I love is that you guys have some resources. You're always bringing resources to people. What about today? What can you point people to, tools, applications that would help somebody in their day?
Well, we've just put a lot of our stuff on our website at daveramsey.com/hope for free. So go check it. I mean, there's a lot of access to material there, stuff we've never gotten out from behind the paywall before. We put it there for free. It's not going to be that way forever, but for right now, it's an opportunity for us to just minister to you folk. And we just love you guys at your church. You're wonderful people. We've had a long relationship together, and we appreciate you all. We appreciate what you do in the city of Atlanta. And my goodness, if there's anything we can do to serve y'all, you just let us know.
Well, thank you. NFL draft happened a couple weeks ago. You guys are trying to get some more players to get around big Derrick Henry. That guy's a beast, isn't he? He's quite an athlete.
He is a wonderful athlete. He's fun to watch.
He really is. Well, from Atlanta to Nashville.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dave. Really appreciate you and appreciate your voice and influence in our church.
My pleasure. Anytime I can help, let me know.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.